Oh, that I'm on my way to the city, and I'm glad the Lord let me stop by here to worship with you and to fellowship with you and to challenge you from the Word of God. What a blessing. I'm glad I'm saved. I can take you to the place, and I can tell you the time the Lord saved me by His wonderful grace. I remember when God laid His hand on me to preach the Word of God, and I thank the Lord for putting me into the ministry. And then I thank the Lord for letting me have friends as we go to heaven. In fact, I think I'll preach on that tonight on the way home. Take your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 13 if you have your Bible with you. And while you're turning, let me say, now don't miss a night. I don't go fishing. I don't fuss at those that do. But when I used to go fishing, I either went a day early or a day late and never did bite when I was there. But I'll tell you, I like to be in the service every night, and when the flood comes in and the tide rolls our way, and we stand up and salute the flag and run outside, and God overwhelms us, then I like to be in the midst of that. And I appreciate the good singing. I appreciate the presence of the sweet Holy Spirit here tonight. I'll tell you, without Him, you could do nothing. Without Him, we could do nothing. And what a blessing it is to know that we know the Lord, and He's here with us tonight. I believe He'll give us what we need. Exodus chapter 13. Let me say one thing. Friday night, the Lord willing, I will preach on prophecy. We have a man coming to video it, and we have a man here that'll video it, but we will have a man to come and video it, the Lord willing. So I hope that you'll be here every night, because I'm looking for the Lord to bless. Amen. I've brought up that crowd that believe, let God have His way. Amen. Somebody said, how long do you preach? My sermons are like sticks of bologna. You can cut them off of either end. They're still good. Praise God. So you come, and I'll preach till the Holy Ghost says stop, and it will stop. But I appreciate this good church. I appreciate the good pastor. I've known him down through the years. I said to him a while ago, I said, you have a good penis. He said, she ought to be. I married her. So I don't know what that's got to do with it, but praise the Lord. I appreciate Brother Wade down through the years, the good pastor that was here when I preached in the little white church. Brother Phillips, some of you was in that meeting when I was here with Brother Phillips. And I praise the Lord for the privilege of being here with you tonight. And I hope you'll come every night. I believe that God will help you. We're living in such a confusion. We're living in such a turned-up world until people need help like I've never seen in my ministry before. Brother, if we've ever needed help, we need it now. We need to get in, bog in with God, and forget about everything else, and let God have His way. That's the only thing wrong, brother. Folks won't let God have His way. And if you ever throw up the white flag and get in, wade out over your knees, and get on up to your thighs and swim a little, you'll have a good time. Did you know that? So I hope you'll come every night and come pray now. I'm going to speak to you on the way home. Did you know I believe we're closer home than we've ever been? I'm kind of like the old brother and his wife, and they'd sit up at night and talk and listen to the clock. It'd strike 10, and then they'd listen, it'd strike 11. And then when it struck 12, they'd go to bed. One night it struck 10, one night it struck 11, and then one night it struck 13. And he said to his wife, honey, did you hear that? She said, I sure did. Said, well, what do you think about it? He said, it's later than it ever has been. Praise God. That's all it is. And it's later than it ever has been. And so we need to realize that and get in. We'll have a time. And here Israel was on her way home. And she'd been out of Egypt a long time, 10 generations. Think about that. Boy, and now I'm going to read from the 13th chapter, but let me give you a little about the 12th chapter. It says in the 12th chapter, that night of the Passover. Passover is mentioned 10 times in the Bible. The last time is in the book of Corinthians, and it says, Christ our Passover. So that's all you have to know. So Christ, you've got the Passover, amen? But it was the night of the Passover, and verse 42 said, and it was a night to be remembered. They said, don't forget it. You won't forget it. And folks, sometimes you forget where God brought you from. I'm glad I remember where God found me. I'm glad I remember how God picked me up. And I'm glad I can go back and just thank the Lord for his blessings of that night, and then every day since. Praise God. I have no sad tales to tell you. I'm heaven bound with a hammer down. Say amen. And brother, that's truck stuff. Where's our truck, brother? God bless you over there, brother. And it's just a blessing. Here they are. The Passover night had passed. Now they're on their way home. Chapter 13, they start out. Now, let me give you something in case I forget. I used to think that it would get easier the longer you live for God and the longer you're on your way. It gets harder. You've done come over the easy places. It's going to get harder now. Amen. It ain't going to get easier. You put her down, brother. It won't get easier. So would you stand when you're out of the house? If you have your Bible, we'll reverence the reading of the Word of God, chapter 1, verse 13 of the book of Exodus. Look over here at this door. I guess there's an exit sign, but no. But that's what it means, a way out. I'm glad back in the days of Exodus, God made a way out. And I'm glad God made a way out in our day. In fact, it's a new and living way. Praise God. I'm glad that we have that new and living way. And so the Bible said, verse 1, chapter 13, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both the man and the beast, it is mine. And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of the hand of the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out in the mouth of Abib. And it shall be, when the Lord shall bring thee in the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, or the Jebusites, which he sware unto the fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. Now look this way, because there's a lot of confusion if you don't understand. He said, now, you may have to go through a lot of things, but said, there is a land. Now, I've never seen honey on the ground. I remember I was over in a camp meeting in Bristol, and honey was falling out of a tree up there at the campground. First time I've ever seen that. Boy, I said, if we had a little milk, we'd be in the land of milk and honey. Sure as it were. But the Bible said, you've left Egypt, you've been there a long time, but you're on a journey. And said, when you wind up, you'll be in the land of milk and honey. Now, just before I bring the message, look down in that chapter, if you will, verse 18 and verse 19. And the Bible said, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straightly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry my bones away hence with you. Look this way. Let me give you two things, and then I'm going to let you be seated, and I'm going to speak to you tonight on the way home. I'm glad I'm on my way home. I was reared up here in a little place called Saluda, Flat Rock. But, you know, that wasn't my home. I live down in Atlanta, Georgia, and that's not my home. Boy, I'm glad that I have a home where sin will not enter. I've got a home, brother, where there'll be no separation and no sadness. I've got a home over yonder. And thank God I'm headed for that home. If you're saved and born again, you're headed for that home tonight. Some of us are closer than we really think we are to the gates and to the home over there. Now, notice what the Bible said. And he took the bones of Joseph. You remember Joseph, and he died in chapter 50. And they put him there, the Bible says, in a coffin. Well, that really means hope chest in the book of Leviticus. And every time you bear a saint of God, you put him in a hope chest. Did you know that? Isn't that a blessing, brother? You put him in a hope chest. And what a blessing. But Moses said, now, when you leave, said, when you start on that journey, I won't know nothing about it, but said, don't leave my bones back here. Now, let me give you this real quick, and I'll say another thing and get the message. Notice, I've been to Israel several times. I've been down where they buried Joseph. Did you know they wouldn't bury him in their father's burying ground? Did you know they took him across the road? And you know why they buried him across the road? They buried him across the road because his bones were tainted in Egypt. Well, I don't care about his bones. His heart was right. Bless God. They ought to put him up there at the head of that crowd. Did you know that? But if you'll go, you'll find he's across the road. And I said, that's a shame. Best man I know of, one man in the Bible, there's no sin recorded against. Nothing. The only man in the Bible I know didn't complain. Boy, he wasn't a Baptist, but bless God, he didn't complain. Say amen. He never did. The only thing he ever asked for help when he was in that prison, he said, boys, he said, that old butler, when you get out, remember me. That's all he ever said. And what a blessing he was. And they took his bones and they started out. And notice one other thing that I'll let you be seated and I'll bring you the message. The Bible said, and God led them by the way of the wilderness. Can you imagine? You say, hey, preacher, God led them by the way of the wilderness. I want you to be seated. Bow your head, if you will. I'm going to pray and then bring you the message tonight on the way home. Our Father, we thank you tonight for every blessing. Thank you for the privilege of being in the house of the Lord. Thank you for the good singing. Oh, God, I'm glad there is a glory land. I'm glad there's a place after this life. Oh, there's a land where there'll be no suffering. There's a land where there'll be no disappointments. I'm glad, Lord, that we are on our way home. And I pray in the midst of all the strife and the anguish and the turmoil of this world that we may keep our eyes on Jesus, that we may keep our eyes on the prize of the goal of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I pray now that you bless the word of God and speak to that man that's nearest to eternity. Oh, Holy Spirit, breathe upon us tonight. Oh, let thyself be real. May we recognize the Holy One has come down. And he is in the heart of the believer. But tonight, may he work some miracles here in the service. Oh, God, we're looking for you to do it. If it's done, it'll have to be done by the Spirit of God. Now I pray that you speak now to our hearts in the preaching of the word. You think in this life that you won't have any detours. You'll wonder, my Lord, why did you send me this way? Why am I in such a mess? I'll tell you, God knows the way through the wilderness. I'm glad that God knows the way when he gives you a detour. And when you scratch your head and say, why, Lord? I don't know, but thank God that someday we'll understand and we'll look back and shout over every step of the way. We'll praise the Lord for the blessing of the detour that came. God detoured them for 40 years. It wasn't easy, and they griped and they complained, but they ran in on their way home. Detour, secondly, they ran into dry holes. Have you ever had a dry spell in your life? I want to tell you, there'll be some dry holes out there. There'll be some places, mister, where your soul can't be refreshed. But after a while, he'll give you a drink of the refreshing waters. Oh, listen to me. It's worth going through the dry holes. Now come to that fountain where God can bless you with the refreshing water of heaven. And not only the dry holes, not only the detours, but they came to some dead ends. And if you think because you're a Christian and you're on your way to heaven that you're not going to have some dead ends, they came to the Red Sea and there was water on one side and there were 600 chariots behind. They were the dead end. But you know what the book says? And Moses said, Lord, what can I do? And he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Let God do it, mister. Sometimes we're so busy. We try to do it, but it's impossible. And so they traveled all those years. Then they came to two places. They came to the Jordan River. Oh, I want to tell you, one day I'm going to come to the Jordan River. And oh, one day you're going to come to that river. The doctor said to me down in Atlanta, said, you died twice. I said, no, you're wrong. He said, I've got it recorded. recorded here at every university hospital that you died twice. I said, I don't care how many times you got it recorded. I said, Doc, you tell whoever recorded that, if I ever cross the river, I'm not coming back. Praise God in the land forever. I'm headed for a better country. And listen, we're on our way home. Now, if you have your pencils tonight, I want you to jot down five that we find in the Bible that were on their way home. Let's start with C. Number one, there was a camel train that was on its way home. I'm glad the camel is a type of the grace of God. It'll carry you all the way. I was saved by grace, plus nothing, minus nothing. It's been grace that's been amazing, that's brought me thus far. And grace is going to carry me home. And Mr., it's blessed. Not anything in my hand I bring. Save it to the cross I cling. I want you to know what a blessing it is. And this is a marvelous story in Genesis chapter 24. Listen to what Abraham was told. When I was young, I didn't like that scripture. I liked it. I mean, it didn't bother me. When you get old, you don't like to read about being old. Let me give you something. Did you know there are two things a woman don't want to tell you? There are two things a woman don't want to tell you. And did you know God protected them in the Bible? You say, no, yes, yes, yes. A woman don't want to tell you about how old she is. You ask a woman how old she is, and she'll stutter and say 39 four times. But you know that's not so. She don't tell how old she is. And God protected them. Did you know there's only one place in the Bible, Genesis 23, verse 1, where it tells you about an old woman? And it was Sarah. She was 123, and she died. And that's the only old woman it ever talks about. Talks about a lot of old men. Talks about men being 900 years old. But it never talks about a woman being old except one time. And God protected her. And did you know it never says anything about a fat woman? You can't find anything in this book about a fat woman. I can show you place after place where it talks about fat men. I was talking today. It was talking. And I got a preacher friend, he knows the Bible backwards and frontwards, but when he gets up to preach, he preaches on something like, lefty let fatty hack. Say amen. I mean, what's that got to do with the gospel of the grace of God? Lefty let fatty hack it. But did you know, in the Bible it speaks about Eli. He was a fat man, a heavy man. And you can go through the word of God. God didn't protect the man, but he protected the woman. Oh, what a blessing. And here, Abraham was old, and he said to his elder servant, he said to Eliezer, my boy needs a wife. I want a bride for Isaac. I want you to leave here and go into that land that I shall tell you about and find that girl. Oh, said the Holy Ghost, we'll tell you where she is. And the Spirit of God will lead you where she is. 1900 years ago, my heavenly Ebenezer, Eliezer, heard the Father say, go down there and pick out a bride, glory for my son. And one of these days, praise the Lord. Are you listening? We're going to sing here. Here comes the bride. Thank God the Bible teaches that. And so the Bible says that Eliezer went into that land of the east. And he said, give me a sign. He said, you go to a well over here. About the time it's the twilight zone. And in the twilight zone, said, you sit down and there'll be a little girl skipping over the hill. Now let me stop long enough to say this. Now as a little boy up here in the mountains, I never dreamed as I skipped over those hills what God had in store for Mae Jackson one day. Oh, you never dreamed about what God has in store for you yet. When you read about the inheritance of the saints and the blessings of being in the family of God, inheritance undefiled that fadeth not away. Listen, we've got more in this world, God. I'll have you to know. Thank God for the blessings. And he said, give me a sign. And when the little girl Rebecca came up, he said, would you give me a drink of water? And she said, I see you got 10 camels. They'll hold 50 gallons. apiece. I'll draw water for not only you, but I'll draw water for all 10 of your camels. That meant she had to draw 500 gallons. Now imagine when she is drawing that water. Old Eliezer, the Holy Ghost said, I'd like to help you. But God's trying to show you something. You're going to get him something he's never been in before. And when she finished drawing the water, the Bible said, Eliezer said, we'll go to thy house. And I want to tell you a story about a man. I'm glad there's an old preacher named N.B. Phillips that stuck that old finger across that pulpit and told me about a man whom I've never seen, but I love. Woo! Praise God in the land forever. I want to tell you something. And the Bible said when they asked her, Eliezer said, wilt thou go? She said, I will go. Oh, she got up on the camel and started home with him. And at night after night, saddle-worn and tired and weary, oh, Eliezer said, I better give her an encouragement. And he'd go over to the saddlebag, and he'd get out something, a token. I'm glad every once in a while when I get discouraged, the blessed Holy Ghost goes over and gets something, a token from heaven. Said, Mays, you think this is good, but you wait till you get over yonder. This will sustain you till you get over yonder. And brother, she went home. And the first one we see on their way home is a camel train carrying the bride. Hallelujah. I'm glad that grace is carrying a bride home now. And praise God, that'll be the greatest day. That'll be the greatest blessing. The preacher's wife said something, and I wanted my wife to come up. Several preachers have said, Mays, whenever anybody likes your wife, and I wish I could have brought my wife with me. I can't. Circumstances wouldn't permit. But I wish. I remember I prayed for my wife. Boy, I said, when I was a preacher, well, I was pastoring a full-time church, and I wasn't qualified. The Bible said let a preacher have one wife, and I didn't have any. Say amen like that. That old Stacy over there, he better go to praying around here, I'll tell you. Amen. And so I was going to school, working at Columbia Record in Columbia, and I went in the cafeteria, and there's a Baptist preacher with me who was standing in line to cafeteria, and I said, see that girl that'll be on, I'm going to marry her. He said, you're crazy. I said, you may think I am, but the Holy Ghost just told. He said, you don't know what her name is. I said, but he knows. And boy, I said, that's her right over there. And a little fella came in, this tickled me, and he's a little dwarf, and he said, Philip Morris! And I looked around, there was a little fella, and he was giving out Philip Morris cigarettes. His name was Johnny. Y'all remember that call for Philip Morris? There he stood, and he said, would you like two Philip Morris's? They're samples. I said, no, I don't smoke. And I saw him pass by and go over there to that table where she was sitting with some girls that worked at the bank. And I said, God, don't let her take one. Have mercy. I'd be in bad shape marrying a girl smoking cigarettes around here with me. And did you know something? Every one of them, oh, I'll tell you, they must have been big Baptists. They grabbed them, you know, start smoking. And he came to Dot. She said, no, thank you. I don't smoke. I shouted right there. I said, glory! That's the first mark right there. I want to tell you something. 8 months later, let me tell you, where I was pastoring, we walked down the aisle, and we were married. And listen to me, we've been married 45 years. Amen. And she's a prettier bride tonight than she was 45 years ago. You'll say, Brother Mays, let me tell you, God's beautified the bride. He's getting us ready. He's going to get all the wrinkles. He's going to get all the spots off of us. Brother, he's going to cleanse the bride. So the first one we see on the way home is a camel train carrying the bride. Number two, we see a country boy headed for town. I like that. Say amen. Name was Abraham. First his name was Abram. Do you know that? Chapter 12, the book of Genesis. And God called Abram. And after he went down to see Melchizedek later and started paying tithe, God put the ham on his name. Say amen like that. You say, I'm eating fatback twice high. Then you might get some ham once in a while. Amen. That's what the book said. I'm telling you the truth. He was called Abram. And when he went to see Melchizedek and he paid his tithe, God said, you'll not be called Abram anymore, but Abraham. You know something else? You know who Sarah was? her name first was Sarai. And she was in the flesh line, and she never got along good with Abraham at all. But when God took the eye out, from then on, she got on the spiritual line, and God called her Sarah. Oh, how we need to get the eye out, where God can call us by name. And the Bible says about Abraham, three things, write them down as he's looking for Sarah. Number one, he got started right. I like that. Brother, I got started with the right crowd. Amen. I thank God a million times that I didn't get started with the liberal crowd. I got started with people that says this is the Word of God. I got started with people that believed in worship and praise. I got started with people, brother, that believed that this life was only worthwhile if you live the Christ life. Mister, I haven't changed my mind. I got started right. Secondly, not only Abraham, who looked for that city. Listen to me, on his way home, he's looking for a city whose builder maker was God. He got started right. Secondly, he staggered not at the promises of God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could just take every word of it? Oh, that you wouldn't stagger at the Word of God. Abraham staggered not at the Word of God. Then I like this about it. He stood by the stuff till the end. Have you ever heard of so many folks quitting church? Have you ever heard of so many preachers saying, I don't believe I can take the pressure? I don't believe I can. Oh, let me tell you something. I know it's not easy to be a pastor at 3-9 evangelists. I can preach to them and lead them. Say amen right there. But I want to tell you something. That pressure is getting harder and harder. And I had two good preacher friends of mine in Atlanta that laid their Bibles on the shelf, and they turned back and they said, we can stand the pressure. Well, I want to tell you, it is pressure. But thank God, one of these days, we'll get out from under all this pressure. And what a blessing it'll be of that day. And he stood for the stuff to the end. He never turned back. Praise God. And you said, you find that city? Not in this world. My daddy was dying at Fit Hendersonville, and I walked into the intensive care unit. He said, Mace, let me ask you two questions. I'll just give you one of them. One of them was, did Abraham really believe that he'd find that city in this world? About that time, that little nurse, bless her heart, said, I'm sorry, 5 minutes is over. You'll have to come back and get to 5 minutes, Mr. Jackson. And I reached over and kissed my dad on the forehead, and I said, I'll tell you when I get back. I went down to the chapel. I opened my Bible, and boy, I got to crying. And then God gave me the answer, and I went back in 55 minutes later. And Dad said, did Abraham really believe that he'd find that city in this world? I said, I think he did. Oh, he said, where do you get your scripture? I said, Dad, I believe every night when he laid down by Sarah in that little tent, he said, Sarah, I didn't put the stakes down too deep tonight. In the morning, we're going to pull up, because over that next hill, there may be a city whose builder and maker is God, brother. And what a blessing it is. I want you to know, thank God. Oh, country boy headed for a city. I'm just a country boy. I never try to be, you know, I see preachers, and this rocks me. And I want to be the greatest that can, don't get me wrong. But I remember when God touched me up there, and he showed me what he wanted me to do. I never will forget old N.B. Phillips. He used to hold his sleeves when he preached. And he looked at me and he said, boy, don't you copy anybody. That blessed God just ride back, put it in overdrive, and put a bulldozer out there and a root cutter on the front of it, and chop everything gets in the way. That's what I've been doing. That's right, brother. Just lay it down like it ought to be. And what a blessing, brother, it is to just let God have his way. But I'll tell you, and I said, Daddy, I believe Abraham did look for that city. Because if you're looking for something, you're expecting to find it. And the Bible said he looked for it. And down at Damascus, when they said, settle down, Abraham said, no, I'm looking for another city. I'm looking for a better country. Oh, we see a country boy going home. Not only we see a camel train on the way home, country boy on the way home, but we see a crippled man on the way home. He'd been away for 30 years. Boy, he'd been away a long time. And his name was Jacob. And God said, Jacob, I want you to go back home. Oh, let me tell you, if you're away from God tonight, if you've ever known the sweetness of living down in the shades of God's love, you need to get up and run down to this altar, fall on your face and say, oh God, oh Lord, I want to draw nigh unto you, and I want you to draw nigh unto me. And what a blessing, brother, that would be. Now watch this, I want to show you something. Jacob had two encounters with God. You had better have one encounter at least. You better have at least one. Because if you don't have that one encounter called the new birth, you'll never see the city of God. You'll never see the home. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Jacob had two encounters with God. Listen to me. Number one, he had an encounter at Bethel. In Genesis 28, the Bible said, and he ran. And he found a spot in a rock. And there he laid his head down and he dreamed. And God let a ladder down from heaven. And boy, when old Jacob awoke in the morning, he said, this is the house of God. I'll make a vow to God. Oh, I want to tell you something. He said, I'll go with you. Just the greatest day in your life was that day when you said, I'm going with God. Let men do what they want to do. Let men say what they want to say. But it's for me and my house. Bless God, we'll serve the Lord. We'll go with God. We'll live the blessings of God. I see old Jacob had that night there at that ladder. Now, some of you didn't know this man. His name is Harley Phillips. Anybody know Harley? Hey, y'all knew Harley. I had him in my church one time. He likes to pray us to death. I mean old Harley. He used to pray and fill us. Oh, Harley, I love Harley. I remember I was over here at Shelby with him in a revival meeting one time during the war. And old Harley said, Mother's not speaking too much. Said, our boy is on a submarine, a secret mission, and he's supposed to surface today in San Francisco. And every ship the enemy's got is out to destroy him and destroy that submarine. And we started eating that day in this little house over here at Shelby. I will forget old Harley. He pushed that food back and he said, Mom, you and Mays pray. I'm going down here. And he said, I'm going to ask God to let me climb up Jacob's ladder. Well, I thought, Lord, have mercy. And he said he went down the woods and I saw him about 4:45 before he came out. He was waving that handkerchief. And singing, I've just heard from heaven and it's all right now. Boy, he was waving that handkerchief and God was a blessing. And he came up and he said, Mother, he said, I climbed that ladder over South Carolina, over Georgia, Mississippi. I climbed all the way up over Arizona, California. And I saw that submarine emerge in front of the top. And my boy said, Papa, it's all right now. And she said, Lord Harley, you're not going to tell that when Mace gets up to preach, are you? He said, I can't wait. She said, oh, Harley, you're going to kill the meeting. Please don't tell that. But he told that. Next day I was over there, and about 10 o'clock, we heard a horn blow. And a man got out, a male man, and walked up to Miss Phillips and handed her a little yellow envelope. And she said, Harley, I believe that's my boy. And she opened it up and it said, Mom and Pa, I surfaced yesterday about 4:30 your time. And she started shouting and she threw that little old thing up there. And she said, Harley, why don't you shout? He said, I shouted. I got mine yesterday. But I climbed to the top of that hill. Oh, when I got to the top of the ladder, and I shouted yesterday. Thank God for the blessings of heaven tonight. Oh, what a blessing. He first had an encounter. Listen to me. At a place called Bethel. Chapter 32, he had an encounter at a place called Peniel. It means the river of death. And boy, I want to tell you, he had a real encounter. To make it real quick and short, he wrestled all night with an angel. Now, that angel could take him one little finger, knock him, he'll still been rolling. But that angel said, honey, if you want a blessing, you got to hold on. And all night, Jacob held on. And Jacob wouldn't let go. And in the morning, the angel blessed him because he said, I won't let you go until you bless me. And the angel crippled him. And we see a crippled man going home from there on out. Now, I couldn't understand this. You'd be here Friday night if the Lord let me preach on the Battle of Armageddon. I would tell you a lot of things. I think I'll help you. And man, we've had grown people saved with the scores. And I preach on Armageddon. Now, listen to me. The book of Revelation, chapter 19, it said something I never could understand. It said, in that on a white horse came out, the heaven opened. John said he had on his breastplate, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But if you read four verses down, it said, and he had on his breastplate and his thighs. You never saw that King of Kings down here on his thigh. And Lord of Lords on his thigh down here. You know why? Because when Jacob went over to Peniel, he went with two new things. God gave him a new name, and he said, you'll not be called Jacob the Heel Snatcher, but you'll be called Israel, a prince with God. And he went over with a crippled hip, a thigh, and mystery had wounds. But I know a better story than that. 1900 years ago, the blessed Son of God went across the river of Peniel with two new things. He'll never be called Jesus anymore. He's always called the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the second thing he took with him were the wounds in his hands and the wounds in his feet. Now, don't let this do to you what it does to me. They sang of the night after the Bible, scars in the hands of Jesus. I oughtn't to tell you because it may hurt you next time. That's a beautiful song. But there are no scars in the hands of Jesus. There are wounds in his hands. When you see him over yonder, brother, it won't be healed. It'll still be open. The wounds in the hands of Jesus, brother. And he went across the river to a crippled man. Number four, write this down. We see a conquering soldier going home. I like that. Be a good soldier. I've read the last chapter. I know how the battle's coming out. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb and the blood. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, said, I want to tell you something, Timothy. You're starting down a long road of preaching. I want to charge you before God. Not before man, but before God. I want to charge you, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Did you know that in season is good preaching? It's easy. Why? Sometimes Brother Wade can get up here and it's in season and he can jump over that piano four times and come back and never hit the floor. Say amen. But you let him come in here and it's out of season. And brother, I'll tell you, the choir can't sing, and the ushers drop three of the offering pans and spill it all over the plate, and the preacher gets up and it's cold. And you say, what? Boy, but that's when God said, be faithful, Mays. Amen. Lady asked me one night, said, preacher, Mays, what are you doing when you're doing that while you're preaching? I said, I'm pushing the glory away. But I have been in some churches, and I reached up, and there wasn't nothing to push away. Now, brother, you're in bad shape. Oh, and there's no glory to push away. But I want you to know, old Paul looked down, and he said, I'm ready to go. I hear the chariot coming. Boy, he said, Timothy, I'm going to leave it with you. I'm glad that there's a man one day that stuck me out in front of them, out and said, Mays Jackson, I'm going to leave it with you. Old M.B. said, I want to tell you something, preach the word. The instant in season and out of season. Paul said three things as a conquering soldier. He said, let me remind you, young man. Oh, he said, I have kept the faith. Thank God for a man that'll keep the faith and stand with the book. What a blessing it is for a man that will keep the faith. What a blessing it was. He said, secondly, he said, I finished my course. He said, I didn't turn back. It's giving me your home. Oh, he said, I'm crossing the finishing line. And then he said, I'm now ready to be offered. Oh, he said, I'm ready to go. Because he said, victory has been mine. Let me say to you, that conquering soldier was Paul. And he was preaching to his son in the ministry, Timothy. And he said, Timothy, listen to me. You're on the winning side. Church, you listen to me. We're on the winning side. Preacher, you listen to me. We're on the winning side. Sunday school teachers, you listen to me. We're good soldiers of the cross. And one day, thank God, we'll stand over there when the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus will be given out. And what a day that's going to be. We see a conquering soldier going home. And they will forget when I was in Rome the first time, many years ago. Some of you wouldn't believe this. But I believe it. I know if you've been to Paul's prison, and by the way, if you ever go over there, that's the most, I felt more God there than any place I've ever been over there. And I went and sat down in that little old prison there where they kept Paul. And as I sat there, the man said to me, he said, you see that artesian well? He said, look, you can have your chains, hands and chains, and reach over and get a cold, cool glass of water. He said, you know, we've had the greatest, and I forget what he called them. There's no other sign of an artesian well around Rome. But he said, when Paul was there, God said, son, you're going to be hot in that old place. I'll put you a good, cold drink of water there. All you got to do is lean over and lap it up. Say amen. Oh, you say, Brother Mays, and here's Paul getting ready to leave. And he says, I've conquered. What a blessing it is. Now, notice the last one, please, on his way home was a crushed boy. Listen, men will never have revival until God crushes them. Listen, men will never be any good to the church. Women will never be any good to the church until they're crushed. This high-spirited, haughty spirit, brother, God can't bless that. Oh, the Lord will never bless that. That fellow that comes in church all head stuck up in the air. Oh, that woman that comes in the church and she's proud as a peacock. You'll never be blessed. But when you get down like that old sinner was and say, God be merciful to me, I'll tell you, you're going to get where the shades of love lie deep, and you're going to get somewhere with God, and God's going to bless you, and God's going to give you a blessing. He said, preacher, what happened? Prodigal son was arrogant. Prodigal son. Now, I went to school in the United States for 2 years, and I've taken final exams the second year. I had a teacher down there named Mr. Wynn. He wrote the English books for Chapel Hill at that time, Wake Forest and State. Well, he's a smart man. But he also taught me psychology. And I had 1,200 students. I mean, well, we had the biggest class there at State at that time. And it's his psychology class. And I never will forget. Boy, he had to see me stand up. Mr. Wynn would say, I want to say to you young people, we're living in a new day. Your child may stick his tongue out, but don't reprimand him. That your child may sash you, but said, don't warp his personality by giving him a whipping. I jumped up and said, Mr. Wynn. He said, yes, sir, Mr. Jackson. I said, I want everybody to turn around and look at a warped personality. Bless God, I've got a warp. My daddy warped me. You say, why, brother, me? He said, I want to tell you, when I get to heaven, I'm going to straighten my daddy out. I'll tell you, I appreciate it too, but I'm going to straighten him out and get to heaven. He used to change hands and never miss a lick and holler, it's a hurting me worse than it is you. But bless God, I was the one getting a licking. Amen? Say amen. I want to tell you what's the truth. He says, hurting me, hurting him, nothing. Boy, those big old stripes. I remember one day Mr. Wynn got up in the class and he said, boys and girls, he said, there's a generation gap and there's no way, no way that we can close that generation gap. And I raised my hand. He said, yes, sir, Mr. Jackson. I said, I know something that will fix that generation gap. And he said, what? I said, my daddy's belt didn't have a bit of trouble with that generation gap. It covered the whole gap. Say amen. And I want to tell you something. We need to recognize it. That's as sure as there's a God in heaven. But here is the one we call the prodigal. Luke chapter 15, you have the sheep, you have the silver, you have the son. And the son didn't like home, and he didn't like being around mother's apron strings. And they didn't want daddy to tell him when to come in. And so he took his journey, and there are 3 days in his life. And the last one's when he's on his way home. The first one was when he's leaving home. It was a sad day. Mister, when a man walks out and denies God, and when a man walks out and denies home and church and everything else, it's a sad day. It was a sad day when he left home. Oh, it's always a sad day when men leave home. Now, notice secondly, that was a bad day. He landed with the pigs. He thought that he's going to come back in a Cadillac, and he thought he's going to be a big shot, but he landed up with the pigs. You read it in Luke chapter 15. He went down to the swill, and he did eat the husk that floated with the pigs. It was a bad day. And I know people all over America tonight that will tune in our broadcast, especially truckers. They're having a bad day. But it's worth all the begging and crying. And I'm like, by the way, you won't hear me say much about it this week. I never mentioned it. Last week, I think I didn't mention it at the time. But that's not here. Listen to me. I don't mind all the toils and the burdens. Every once in a while, I'll get a letter from an old trucker. And he will say, I was just outside of Dallas. I was going home to commit suicide. By tuning you in, you scared me to death. You were hollering and preaching, and I was afraid to cut you off. And I pulled over to the side of the road and got on my knees, and God saved me. And I'm going home and tell my wife I'm sorry, and she's got a new husband now. I'm going home and tell the children you've got a new daddy now. It's worth it all. Worth everything in the world. Bad day. You'd be surprised the people that you work with are having bad days. Oh, my bad days. Listen. Oh, even now, my bad days now are better than my best days back yonder. So bless God, I got somebody to go to, and I got somebody to love me. I've got somebody that understands. I've got somebody to never leave me. And what a blessing it is to have those blessings. You see, a sad day and a bad day. And then came the glad day. Then came the morning. And he said, I believe I'll go home. Oh, he said, I'm tired of the pigs and the filth and the swine. Just think about Papa's house. The servants have bread to spare, and I perish with hunger. I believe I'll go home. And boy, that day when he got up, he's the first man I know that gave the pigs a permanent wave. Hallelujah. But he wasn't coming back. Say amen. Some of y'all catch that on a slow train tomorrow, but that's right. You put her down just as sure as you hear. Brother, he wasn't coming back to that home to you. You get a man really saved and born again, and he won't want to go back to the pigs and the filth and the sin of this world. And he said, we will go home. And before he got home, the devil probably climbed up on his shoulder and said, son, you're making a fool out of yourself. That daddy's got a big stick, and he'll beat you to death for coming back with those rags and the smell and the filth of the hog pen. And boy, when he looked over that hill, the last hill, that old daddy saw him and ran. First time in the Bible that God ever got in a hurry. He didn't tie for in person. But that father who's a tie for my father, he ran and fell on his neck. And he kissed him. And he said, this is my son. Welcome home. Praise God for the joy of going home. Having the Father to bless you, and having the Father to be with you, having the Father. My youngest son's in California, and I never will forget, we had just a little trouble with him, not bad. I mean, I don't give him no dope or nothing. But I remember he left us and went out to California where he is now. He's been back, he's worked, he's gone back out there at my oldest son's office and working. But I remember the day he left us, and my wife said, son, if you ever get tired, Do you ever get lonely? Do you ever need a bed to sleep in? Do you ever need a table? It's right here. But you got to do as your daddy says, or he won't let you live here. Said he goes all over this country, and he's not going to be a hypocrite here under his own roof. And I've tried to be true. I failed, but I've tried to be true. But I remember it was 9 months, and it was the day before Christmas. Now, I only take 2 weeks a year off. I take July the 4th week now. I'm giving that away. My wife said, if you give Christmas week away, I'm going to give you away. Say amen. That's what she said. But let me tell you something. I was sitting at home, it's Christmas Eve, and I was trying to comfort my wife. And she said, you know, Mays, we don't understand. By that time, the phone rang. Boy, I reached over and got the phone. I said, hello? He said, it's Dale. He said, I'm sorry I hurt you, Hay. He said, I didn't mean to sash you. I didn't mean to do what I did. He said, I'm working here today, the biggest radio station in Los Angeles, and I'm on the thing at 12 o'clock tonight, their time. It's about 4 o'clock here in the morning. But out there, he goes 2,000 miles, KFI. He said, Daddy, I put your program on sometime out here. Said, I work on the weekends. But he said, I've got today and tomorrow off. And he said, I've already called Delta. And they got a flight leaving out in a few minutes. And I know you and Mama won't sleep on Christmas Day. And that plane will get into Atlanta at 5:05. Said, if you'll forgive me and let Mama come to the phone and she'll forgive me, I'll see you at 5:05 in the morning. Boy, my wife went over there and she was crying out of time. Well, you talk about a squalling time. We had a squalling time. And you know what? I said, now, Doc, we'll just sleep a few hours. You know what time we was at that airport? 1 o'clock in the morning. And Doc said, well, Mays, he might come in early. I said, no. I've already checked. Delta is coming in from Los Angeles 5:05. Well, about 3 o'clock, every time he'd say, J-44, Delta, now arriving from St. Louis. She said, that's him. I said, no, he's not coming to St. Louis. He's coming to Los Angeles. Boy, she couldn't wait. But I want to tell you about 5:05. She got all nervous. And she said, I can't wait, Mays. I said, yeah, just a little while longer. About 4:05, we heard an announcement. It said, Delta Airlines, nonstop from Los Angeles, now making its final approach into Atlanta, be on the ground in about 5 or 10 minutes. Boy, we ran down as fast as we could to that gate. Boy, with that plane, I thought it'd take an hour for it to come back up that runway. But when it got back up there, they opened the door. She said, that's not him. And one other got off and said, that's not him. Then we saw him get off and raise his hand and say, praise the Lord. I want to tell you, we were there. We grabbed one another. We shouted. We prayed. We got down right there and asked God to bless us. Now I want to tell you, we had the best Christmas we ever had. Oh, you say, Brother Mays, I'm glad we had a homecoming. One day, mister, I'm going to have another homecoming. But what a blessing it is tonight to know that you can have a homecoming, brother. What a blessing it is to know. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Sitting over there thinking tonight, on the way home, that's where we're going. We're on our way home, children. And I believe we're near home we ever thought we were. Oh, listen. I'm glad it said be all so ready. Hallelujah. I don't know a lot of things, beloved, but I know I'm ready. I'm waiting for him to call me home. Hallelujah. I'm ready. But there might be a young boy here in this service tonight. Your heart's hungry, young man. Oh, hear me. Your soul is weary. You need to get up and run down here tonight. Oh, you need to come. Get on your knees, young lady. Oh, maybe you wandered far away. This is revival time. This is a time of renewal. This is a time to come back and say, God, I've broken those vows, but tonight I come to Thee. Oh, God, will You forgive me? And He'll forgive you. And then there may be a mother here. God bless you, mothers. What a blessing it is to have a praying mother, a godly mother, a mother that can get a hold of God, a mother that knows God, a mother that's living close enough to God to pray for you. Mother, are you that close tonight? Dad, do you know God tonight? Are you that close? Oh, whoever you are, is it well? Is it well? Is it well? Father, we're going to stand in just a moment. We're going to sing, Oh, Blessed Be the Name of Jesus. We're going to give them an invitation to come. But first of all, Lord, I want to thank You for saving me. Oh, I want to thank You for helping me. Oh, God, I want to thank You that I'm on my way home. Lord, I pray that every person here in this church tonight will obey the Spirit of God. Lord, there are mothers that need to come, and there are daddies that need to come, and there are boys and girls that need to come. I pray they'll obey the Spirit of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Let's stand all over the house. We're singing, what you brother.